Hi, welcome to City Visions. This is Grace Wan. Today, six Bay Area counties made the historic and unprecedented decision to have residents shelter in place for the next 3 weeks. To talk about what this means, I have Rose Aguilar from Your Call, who's been following today's events. Rose.
Grace.
What's the latest?
Well, there is a lot to report. I listened to San Francisco Mayor London Breed's press conference this afternoon. And before we talk about that, I just want to mention the counties that this applies to. We're talking about San Francisco, Santa Clara, San Mateo, Marin, Contra Costa, and Alameda counties. Combined, Grace, this is almost 7 million people, and this is set to stay in place until at least April 7th. So the information I'm going to share with you is specific to San Francisco, but Mayor Breed said that this really is a regional effort, and most areas will be abiding by the same, I guess you can call them rules or asks of people.
Right. And let's listen to what Mayor Breed had to say.
Okay.
The new public health order that we're announcing will require San Franciscans to remain at home with exceptions only for essential outings. These measures will be disruptive to day-to-day life, but there is no need to panic. Essential government services like our police, our fire, our transit, and sanitation will continue. So your garbage will be picked up. Police officers will be out there on the front line. Our fire safety officials and others. Also, grocery stores and pharmacies and banks and gas stations will remain open. Restaurants will be open for takeout only, but non-essential stores like bars and gyms will close effective midnight tonight. So, my fellow San Franciscans, what we are asking for everyone to do is to remain at home for all but the most essential outings for your safety and the safety of those around you.
So, Rose, no cause for panic?
Well, we definitely do not want people to panic. I mean, I understand this is pretty scary, and to be told to stay home, especially for older people who do not have family, that is a very important concern, and we've been talking a lot about that on Your Call. But at the end of the day, the reason why we're doing this is to flatten the curve. We're seeing, Grace, unfortunately, what's happening in Italy, where 700 people died over the last 2 days. And we do not want to see that here. And one of the ways, the main ways that we can get a handle on this is if we flatten the curve and we minimize the spread of this virus. So it's really important, just a couple of things, because people called in today and asked questions like, can I go outside? Can I do my laundry? Please go on walks outside. Get some fresh air. Move your body if you can. Just maintain social distance. We're talking about staying 6 feet apart from each other. As the mayor said, grocery stores, banks, laundromats, they will be open. And she said there's no need to rush out to the store, but a lot of people are doing that for obvious reasons. Now, one really important question is a reporter asked, will people be stopped by police? And San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott says, if social distancing is being practiced, there is no reason to stop anybody. The likelihood of someone being stopped by police is extremely low. So I know that that's been a concern. Another major concern is what happens to our houseless neighbors. I really believe that the state and local officials are still trying to figure this out. Mayor Breed says that they are working with the governor's office to make sure that they have places for people who are homeless to self-quarantine if they need to. Now, yesterday I listened to Governor Newsom's press conference, and he said that they're putting 13 task force teams together to really reach out to vulnerable communities. And they also procured, and I'm trying to figure out what this means exactly and where, hotels and motels to ensure that homeless people have a safe place to go.
Well, that seems like a very good wrap up. Thank you so much, Rose. And to get more information for this, this will be on Your Call tomorrow.
Yes, we're going to be doing this for the next many weeks because people have questions and we're going to be there for you and open the lines.
Thanks so much, Rose. That's
Thank
Rose
you,
Aguilar from Your Call. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10. Thank you. And now we're going to turn to something a little bit different. As we all heard, we are sheltering in place until Tuesday, April 7th, as the authorities fight furiously to flatten the curve. Working from home is going to be the new norm. Kids are home from school. Children are, child care is up in the air. Folks are living in pretty tight quarters with kids, spouses, and roommates, pets, and there's probably not enough privacy or bandwidth to go around. It's no wonder people are asking, how can I get a break from all this? What can I read, listen to, or watch to get my mind off the news? For the next 45 minutes, we're going to answer exactly that question. We'll be talking about what books, music, programs, and podcasts we can dive into during these troubling times. To talk about their favorites and how they are coping, I'm joined on the phone by Sky Pillsbury, the editor and podcast host of Inside Podcasting. Welcome, Sky.
Thank you so much for having me, Grace.
Oh, we're happy to have you. We have Gary Steingart, the New York Times bestselling author of Lake Success, Little Failure, and Super Sad True Love Story, among other novels. Welcome, Gary.
Hello.
We've got David Talbot, the founder of Salon.com and author of Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke, and also the bestselling book, Season of the Witch. Welcome, David.
Hello, great to be here.
And great to have you.
And finally, I'm stuck here.
You are. And finally, we have Martin West, the music director and principal conductor of the San Francisco Ballet. Welcome, Martin. I think Martin's there.
And hello.
Yes, hi, Martin. And in 20 minutes, we're going to open our phone lines to have you join our conversation. You can call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or email us at KALW, cityvisions@KALW.org. And you can reach us by tweeting us at cityvisionsKALW. What are you reading or listening to calm your nerves during these trying times? So I've got this great panel of people who have really good taste in what to listen to and read. And let me start out by asking, Gary, how are you getting through these crazy times?
I am listening to a lot of podcasts. I live right now, we're in upstate New York, my family and I. So there's the opportunity to take very long walks. I walk about 3 hours a day just to get out of the house and get some fresh air. So I've been listening to some podcasts, although I have to say the podcasts are sometimes disturbing in of themselves. I love one called The Big One, which is about earthquakes in California, in LA to be precise. So on top of the coronavirus, I'm listening to a podcast about earthquakes.
So basically, you're looking for disasters that aren't in your geographic area.
Partly, yes. But also, you know, there's so many great tips on this podcast. For example, you have to always keep your car full of gas. I had no idea about that. So today I went out and filled up my gas tank. And every time I go out, I make sure that on the way back, I fill it to the brim. I took out cash from an ATM. So I'm getting really prepared for the worst.
Well, Sky, you're into podcasts. How are you coping with what's happening right now?
I am. Well, I've been dipping into a few podcasts that I really love. One is called Kind World, and it is sort of bite-sized narratives about the kindness of strangers. It tells very intimate stories about how one act of kindness can change someone's life. So, for example, they recently had an episode about a woman from Vietnam who had to give up her child because of political issues and was not reunited with her until many decades later, but never would have found her if it wasn't for the kindness of a stranger. So that's the kind of thing you'll get from Kind World. There's also some sort of silly episodes that are, that are lighter in feel, but it seems like a good antidote to what's happening right now and good for your nerves. Another one that I actually just fall in love with in the last couple days, I hope I have time to talk about this one too, Grace, you know how much I love podcasts, so you're just going to pretty much have to cut me off. But this podcast is called Dead Eyes, and it is hilarious. It's made me laugh out loud multiple times in the last couple days, which I've really, really needed. And it is a nonfiction story that follows actor-comedian Connor Ratliff, who I'd never heard of, but he apparently is someone that has made a pretty good career for himself at this point. He's probably someone that you'd recognize, but whose name you wouldn't know. But he was fired about 20 years ago from a very small role in the HBO series Band of Brothers. And what he was told was that he was fired because Tom Hanks, who's actually in the news right now, as we all know, thought he had dead eyes. And he goes on a journey, sort of a quest, to find out whether that's really true or whether there was some other reason. And it includes cameos from people like John Hamm, who I personally adore. And I think I got high hopes that this is going to lead to an interview and maybe a second audition, if we're lucky, with Tom Hanks after I assume he will get better from the coronavirus.
Well, so it sounds like you have some great things to listen to. I want to bring in Martin West, who's the conductor of the San Francisco Ballet. Martin, I know it's been a tough time for performing arts with the coronavirus. How is the ballet coping?
We're doing our best. It's things are changing so quickly, of course, it's very difficult to know quite where we are. We've just finished today, we've rushed the job to finish up editing a live capture we did of our last program before we got shut down, hoping that that would be the last thing we'd be shut down for. But of course, as things move on the foot, we don't quite know when we're going to be back in the theater. So
we're
doing our very best.
What was that performance of?
That was a Midsummer Night's Dream. It was a Balanchine's production of Midsummer Night's Dream with some amazing music by Mendelssohn. We managed to do one performance before we got shut down about 2 weeks ago, and we were very lucky. The unions and everybody rallied around really quickly to allow us to take another performance to no audience at all, just a completely empty house, so that we could be able to live stream it to the people who had bought tickets and our donors, so that we could at least give something back to the community to make sure that the art still survives and is living. It's very important.
And how are the people who are working at the ballet? Are they being paid right now, or are they just on leave?
We've been paid up till now. No one really knows what's happening now. It's really changing. Literally, we had a meeting this morning where we were discussing something, and then the latest order from the city came in while we're having the meeting. So everything that's getting decided is getting changed as we speak. And of course, you know, it's taken a massive hit out of our finances, sadly, as you might imagine. And we're losing a lot of money from ticket sales. And, you know, I shouldn't maybe make a plea, but if there's something I would say to our people, I'm sure many people who listen to this are supporters as well, but if you can possibly think about donating the cost of the ticket of the performances that you're going to have to miss, it would go a long way to help us survive. It's really that desperate, I think, and we're not the only people. I think every arts organisation that performs is suffering because we can't take income in, and so if we haven't the income, we can't pay our players and our dancers and our staff. So it's very troubling times, but no, we are very resilient, and we'll do our best, and we hope to have better news, of course.
Well, I think it's wonderful that there's going to be a live capture available for people to see, and certainly this is a time that we all should pull together. I've got David LaTulipe, who is a host of one of our shows on music, in here. David, do you have a question?
Yeah. Hi, Martin. How you doing?
Hi, David. Hi.
I was hoping to have you on open air upcoming by phone as well. Perhaps you could address the ripple effect that this all has, and it's going to have repercussions beyond when the city says, okay, the hall is open. Because the reality is, you know, you should be rehearsing. It takes weeks and weeks to bring up a production. You can't just suddenly come into this next production you're going to do without rehearsal time. And so even once things reopen, you're still going to be a little bit behind the ball. Is that true?
Yes, of course. And you know, it makes it very difficult to plan because we don't really know when we're going to be able to get back into the theatre. So that's all being discussed now. As you might imagine, we have hundreds of scenarios really going on. When we finish, the opera go in, and they don't know when they can really start either. You know, they have problems with their rehearsal period as well. So it's not just us. The symphony hall is closed. I'm feeling very sorry. I mean, I'd like to talk about the ballet, but it's also there's many, many orchestras around the area which have had to cancel concerts, and musicians are just not being paid. So people are looking at 2 months without pay and any income at all. It's just incredibly sad.
And we're looking at the ballet and the opera and the symphony with robust endowments, but still hurting. Can you imagine these smaller organizations with freelance musicians and freelance contractors that are going to be just...
I can't, yeah. And the thing is, you know, yes, we have an endowment, but you raid your endowment because of an emergency, and then that means you have less money for the rest of for the years to come. This isn't even if it was fixed tomorrow, the crippling effect is probably going to last us for years and years. So it's going to be tough times, but the art will live on because that's what we do it for.
And thinking about art, let's bring in David Talbot. David, let's tell me how you're getting through these times. What are you doing to cope with this?
Well, I'm trying to calm everyone down. My family is sheltering with me in place, which is very nice. Joe Talbot, my son, who made The Last Black Man in San Francisco, a great film, which you can see, by the way, on Amazon right now if you are looking for a good movie. He happens to be home along with the star of that film, Jimmy Fail. So we kind of have an intact family here, my other son, Nat, and my wife, Camille. I sense there's way too much panic out there. So what I'm doing on Facebook and other places is recommending music, and I'm glad you're doing this show, Grace. A song that I've kind of dug up in the past because I love the Beatles is the old George Harrison song, The Inner Light, which says, you know, without going out of your door, you can know all things on earth. It's from, you know, inspired by the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. So I think we all need to take deep breaths. We all need to be meditating. We all need to be helping each other when we can, and instead of panicking and hoarding like is going on in so many stores. My sons went out today to get some shopping in the grocery store, and you know, the shelves are stripped bare. People are running frantically through the aisles with their shopping carts. We, you know, this is not the way San Francisco needs to pull together. And, of course, I wrote about this in Season of the Witch, my book many years ago, about how we responded to the AIDS epidemic. And there was still, you know, in those years, of course, a rising panic throughout the city before we knew how the virus was spread and so on. And it was the frontline people working in the hospitals and the mayor, Dianne Feinstein, who set the tone of being responsible and you know, sober, and really brought out the great San Francisco values of St. Francis, that we're all in this together, we all need to help each other. People who don't, I heard my friends who run Zuni restaurant today are boxing up food and sending it to food shelters who people need it. This is the kind of spirit we need throughout the city now. So listen to good music like The Inner Light, George Harrison.
Well, we have that actually queued up. So actually, let's listen to a little bit of Inner Light. Let's go a little bit zen. Here we go.
Without going out of your door, you can know all things on earth. Without looking out of your window, you can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one.
And so that was Inner Light by George Harrison, a song recommended by one of our panelists tonight, David Talbot, as a way to get zen in these less than zen times. You're listening to City Visions on KALW.org. I'm talking about, this is Grace Wan, and we're talking about things to listen to and read and watch during these challenging times. I've got Sky Pelsbury, the editor and podcast host of Inside Podcasting, Gary Steingart, the author of Lake Success, Little Failure, and Super Sad True Love Story, David Talbot, the founder of Salon.com and the author of Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke, and Martin West, the music director and principal conductor of the SF Ballet. I want to talk about the kinds of, maybe we've talked a little bit about music. And Martin, are there some songs that you are listening to or suggesting to kind of calm everyone's nerves?
Well, I think what I'm going to be doing is taking advantage of all the great things on the internet that have been made available by all the other arts organizations. The Berlin Philharmonic have allowed free access to their digital concert hall, and they have a huge number of concerts that they've performed, and actually really taking advantage of that because that's a wonderful resource. I'm especially looking forward to seeing a program that they did with an old friend of mine from university times, actually, Jonathan Kelly, playing the Strauss Oboe Concerto, which is really one of the most lovely pieces written in the 20th century. That'd be the first one I'm going to look at, and the Met Metropolitan have also offered to have free streams of a lot of their back catalogue of operas, so I should be making use of that as well. I should be listening to some of my things I've listened to. My daughter loves dancing to some of the records I've made in the past. So as she's at home, off school, she'll be no doubt dancing across at the living room floor to some of the music I've recorded that she's had to listen to over and over again because I've been editing, things like that.
Well, that sounds pretty wonderful. And Gary, tell me, in New York, you're upstate and up with your family. Are there things that you're watching or listening to? I mean, the Berlin Philharmonic sounds pretty awesome. I have to admit, yeah. I watched Love is Blind on Netflix.
Well, I'm watching my friends because we have this thing now called virtual drinking. So because we can't see each other, especially my friends in the city, we'll go on Skype and we'll each get a glass of something wonderful, some Albany or Yamazaki, and we'll just sit there looking at each other and drinking. It's a little sad, but also kind of fun.
So you're doing conference call cocktailing.
Yeah, it's a new thing. It's just funny. And I'll put on a little, I like listening to the Goldberg Variations when things get sad because they're so melancholy and contemplative. When I work, I like to listen to Kraftwerk because it makes me feel more efficient and dramatic and stuff. It's hard to work these things. I don't know how other people feel in the creative arts, but as a writer, there's calamity happening all around you and it's a little hard to concentrate, but music certainly helps.
Well, you're known for your dystopian novel, Super Sad True Love Story. Do you feel like the pandemic was something that was inevitable?
Well, some sort of disaster has always been inevitable. In the Super Sad True Love Story, it's something called the rupture, where it's more of a financial crisis, which is kind of happening too at this point. I do not see great things for the future. But I didn't think the pandemic would come before other effects of global warming. So this is a new one for me. There's a lovely novel called Stations 11 by Emily Saint. Ooh, I always get her last name wrong. But it's a really great book, which is about the arts response to a pandemic, called Stations 11, which I heartily recommend during these very dark times.
Well, I'm going to throw it out to the rest of the panel. What books do you recommend that we could be reading? Many of us are going to have a lot of free time. David?
Yeah, you know, I'm like Gary, I'm fond of dystopian dark dramas, even in this period. And so I read The Second Sleep by Robert Harris, which is a weird futuristic novel that's apparently set in medieval times, but actually in the future, that posits the world has undergone a terrible global collapse. Sounds familiar? And how quickly civilization can disappear, which is a little sobering. But on the plus side, on the positive side, I would recommend heartily our fellow San Franciscan writer, Rebecca Solnit, who has a new memoir out. But I would recommend an earlier book that she wrote called A Paradise Built in Hell. And she has various chapters in the book which look at different calamities. But she looks in particular at the San Francisco earthquake back in 1906. And amazingly how people came together and helped one another and how the city pulled together and got the city through this terrible calamity through our cooperation with each other and not panicking.
Well, that not panicking sounds like a good idea. How about you, Sky? I mean, you're listening to podcasts. Do you have another one to throw out for us?
Sure, although I was going to recommend, just in terms of books, I've gone in a completely different direction, it sounds like, from your other panelists, where I just want to read things that make me laugh. And so I have really been enjoying Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow. It's transcripts of his interviews with comedians from, like, back in the 80s when he interviewed Jerry Seinfeld, all the way up to, like, today, where he's talking to people like Sarah Silverman and Chris Rock. And I guess I'm just looking for more of an escape, not more sort of plumbing the depths of my of the scariness. So that's a book recommendation for me. But then I would love to throw out another podcast called Song Exploder. Oh my gosh, my dog is barking.
Oh, that's okay. These are those times.
Yes, Song Exploder is a music podcast in which, so it sort of blends my love for music with podcasts, and it features people like Arcade Fire talking about how they formed a particular song, and it is the interviewer is not even present. It is just the musician who is speaking, and it ends up being this sort of beautiful, like, soliloquy, monologue type thing where you get deep into how a song was created. So if people who love music are also sort of pod curious, Song Exploder is a good sort of gateway drug, if you will. And I've just enjoyed it for years. And there's tons out there, and they're only about 15 minutes. And you can definitely find something, some artist who you've loved talking about a song that you grew up with or even love today.
And that was Skye Pillsbury, who is a podcast reviewer and editor. So with the podcasts, you can really dive deep. And there's got to be programs with everybody binging on Netflix and the like that people are going deep on. And I'm just curious, Gary or David, is there something in particular that you've enjoyed watching? Let's start with you, David.
Yes, me. Jumping in here, David. Sorry, Gary. Babylon Berlin is in the third season now on Netflix. A great German production, very high production values, a stunning cast with actors I've never seen before. They must only be working in Germany. But it sets you in Weimar Germany, another dark period, of course. And, you know, if you want to escape our dark period for another one, it really evokes it so compellingly. It's, you know, kind of a noirish featuring a police detective who's, of course, haunted, like all great noir characters, and a young woman who's an aspiring detective, and they form a great dynamic duo. We're in the third season now, and each season is kind of stands on its own, but I would recommend going back to season one and binging on all the many episodes. I'm just now launched on season three, which began recently, and I'm completely and utterly, again, compelled by it. In some ways, I think season three is the best. Babylon Berlin.
Okay, well, that's Babylon Berlin, a recommendation from David Talbot, local San Francisco author. Gary, did you have a recommendation?
Oh, I was just going to second Babylon Berlin. I love that show.
Sorry.
Oh, my God, it's so dark and just, oh, I lived in Berlin for a bit, and it just really takes me back. I mean, I know they're post-Weimar, obviously. Yeah, that's a wonderful show. Actually, that has a really fascinating soundtrack. Brian Ferry, all these great artists are in that soundtrack, and a lot of sort of very music from the Weimar period, but kind of reinterpreted. So heartily recommend both the soundtrack and the series. And I guess these days I've started catching up on Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
This is season four, I believe. Am I crazy? Yeah. Yeah, I think season four. It's still just so good. And I just love the sort of languorous storytelling where, you know, they can go off on a tangent for 5 minutes and then go back to something else. And it kind of feels like the way we're living right now. Everything is slowed down. Everything is kind of, what the heck is happening? What just happened? You know, and that's kind of the tenor of that series. But also, it's very funny. And humor is something you can use at this point, too. So, yes, it's a great season. That and Babylon Berlin, good stuff.
That's a recommendation from Gary Steingart, New York Times bestselling author. This is Grace Wan on City Visions at KALW.org and 91.7 FM San Francisco. We're talking about books, music, articles, podcasts, things that you can read or listen to distract yourself from these challenging times. On my panel tonight, I have David Talbot, the author of Season of the Witch, and he has a new book, Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We've got Martin West, the principal conductor for the San Francisco Ballet, Skye Pillsbury of Inside Podcasting, and as I said, Gary Steingart, author of Super Sad True Love Story. David, I wanted to talk a little bit about your book that just came out, because I think that's something that people might enjoy reading right now, because it talks about dark times, but actually, and then happy times. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I suffered a stroke, a massive one, about 2 years ago. And, you know, I was kind of your typical alpha male and driving hard through, you know, life. I started my own dot-com company, God help me, you know, back in the 90s, salon.com. And recently I've been writing popular history books, and they've been optioned in Hollywood. I have a chapter in my book called Hollywood Gave Me a Stroke. any writer, I'm sure Gary says this experience, who's dealt with Hollywood could know how crazy it can be. So I was really forced after my stroke to find some kind of inner serenity, some peace inside myself, the way we all are having to do right now and as we shelter in place. So for me, it was I had to become a patient and a patient. And my rehab lasted really over a year. I'm still not the person I was before. I can't go back to that person. But I think, as I write in the book, that I wasn't just reborn. In some ways, I became, the stroke weirdly saved my life because it made me become a different person, a person who is more in touch with day-to-day life and not as driven by deadlines and other demons. And so I never intended to write introspectively before or to write a memoir, but the book, the trauma that I underwent really opened me up in a way, not just to looking inside myself, but looking at my city again and how after you go through a medical trauma like that, you have to be put together again. First, of course, by the medical staff. I happen to have a great care at Davies Hospital in San Francisco, but then my family, the rehab team, friends, neighbors. I write that it takes more than a village, like Hillary Clinton, to, you know, to make you whole again. In my case, it took a broader circle of love that included many people and still are, you know, there for me now, even as I'm sheltering in place.
And now that you've been your post-stroke and you've had all this great medical care in San Francisco, are you looking at this pandemic differently? Are you able to process it in a way that you wouldn't have before your stroke?
Well, it makes me very aware, as Bernie Sanders has been saying, of how fragile our public health system is. You know, I, as a freelance writer, I'm sure many of your freelance listeners now can relate to this. I had no kind of way to make a living after I had my stroke. My wife was also a freelance writer, and she had to care for me. She was working on her own book, and she had to interrupt that for over a year. So we suddenly had no revenue. My son, Joe, who is the director of Last Black Man in San Francisco, had not yet at that point, you know, become a successful young director. But we decided to fund my rehabilitation. We had no other way of doing it, of supporting my family, until my disability checks kicked in and my Medicare and so on. It's a scandal that so many Americans throughout the country are forced to do this to pay for their medical bills. And so whenever Bernie, you know, talks about Medicare for All and how fragile and broken our health system is, I completely relate to that. And that lesson was driven home for me after I had my own trauma.
And we're seeing, you know, in other parts of the world where people have been in quarantine for much longer, David talking about the pandemic and how it affected him post-stroke. I was kind of struck by these images of Italians singing opera out of their balconies and sharing stories, sharing music and laughter across courtyards. And when I looked at that, Martin, I thought about how music can really bring us together. Do you think that we'll be seeing that here in the States, and how can we do that in San Francisco?
Yeah, well, it's tricky, isn't it, when we can't leave our houses. We've been discussing about how we could play music over the internet together and have, you know, even just music lessons. All these ways of communicating now that we have that we didn't have before. But we're having to try to figure it out as we go along, I think. I don't think we're going to be getting people singing opera outside my balcony, but
I'm hopeful.
You never know.
I'm hoping that you'll be conducting from your balcony.
I'll happily conduct something. I'm not sure you want to hear me sing.
Maybe your daughter can do some dancing. And for the rest of our panelists, Gary and Sky, do you think music is going to be a balm during this time? Sky?
I'm sorry, how music is going to be what for this time?
How music is going to help us through this time.
Oh, it's going to be huge. I mean, it already is huge. I can tell you, at least in my family, if I subjected my family to what I wanted to listen to, it would probably be the music of my youth, like Van Halen and Prince. But my husband is actually a major music fan, and he keeps us all dancing, and I think music makes such a difference just to how your heart beats and how you feel in every moment of the day. And so he has introduced us to a lot of new music. For example, Vampire Weekend, they just came out with an album called Father of the Bride, which is very, in, like, just up and bouncy and fun. And, you know, we have two kids at home. So we've got two teenagers that, you know, we're trying, we're being honest with them, and we're not shielding them from anything, but we are also trying to infuse joy into the household, which is probably why a lot of my recommendations are about, like, humor and joy and, like, seeing the kindness in the world and trying to feel good when we're at home and see the benefits to being home. And one of those benefits is, like, having dance parties. And so, you know, in our living room, we're dancing to Vampire Weekend. We're dancing to another band called Phosphorescent, who's equally fun and up. So, you know, of course, I can only speak for my own family, but I have to say, when I heard about the Italians singing on their balconies, you know, I'm part of a big email list of all the people who live in my neighborhood, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to email that list and say, hey, at 1 o'clock tomorrow, we're all going to go out on our porch, and we're going to sing whatever we're going to sing, but we're going to sing it together, and, like, how magical and beautiful that would be. Not just for us, but it would be a memory that our kids would, you know, carry with them in their lives forever. So, you know, we're trying to think of ways to make this special, you know, to not only feel the darkness, but to feel the specialness of being together during this dark time.
I'm excited to see that get posted on Instagram. I think that's going to happen. In David's book, there are lists of songs that he used to get through his stroke. And I went through that list earlier today, looking at songs. And I pulled a cut of it called Another Age by Robert Earl Thomas. And is that something, David, that got you through a tough time?
Yeah, I have to say, the very first song I remember playing in my hospital room that really pumped me up was Pearl Jam's I'm Still Alive, for obvious reasons. I was celebrating the fact that I was still around. So, but I did make a playlist because music is as important to me as the others who are on your show today. And it is so restorative at times like this, and makes you happy. I began dancing again, which I hadn't done since the 80s when I hit all the dance clubs in town. And I was dancing and enjoying the music. I always have to dance next to a couch in case I tilt over, because I'm not perfectly balanced anymore. But, you know, dancing is essential, and so is music.
Well, let's listen to this cut, Another Age by Robert Earl Thomas, from David Talbot's book, Between Heaven and Hell. You just heard Another Age by Robert Earl Thomas, and this is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about books and music that we'd like to hear while we're experiencing this pandemic. You can reach us at 1-866-798-8255. That's 1-866-798-TALK. Our guests tonight are Sky Pillsbury, the editor of Inside Podcasting, David Talbot, the author of Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke, Gary Steingart, author of Lake Success and Super Sad True Love Story, and Martin West, the music director and principal conductor of the San Francisco Ballet. We were talking about music that makes us super happy and that is moving us. And Martin, are there pieces of music or symphonic music that we should be listening to that we didn't get to hear because the ballet was cut short this season?
The next set we were just about to perform has a wonderful piece by Glazunov, a Russian composer from the early 20th century, where The Seasons, and it's just full of joy, of beautiful tunes. And we actually started rehearsing it with the orchestra, and I think we all fell in love with it straight away. And If we can't get to do it this season, we very much hope it'll come back very soon, because I think it's just something that uplifts you.
Well, we actually pulled
completely.
Yeah, we actually pulled a cut of that. We've got summer, the summer movement, the beginning of the summer movement of the seasons by Alexander Glazunov, and we'll play that right now. I already feel more peaceful listening to that. That just took down my blood pressure by a lot. That's the Summer Movement from the Seasons by Alexander Glazunov, and Martin West, the principal conductor for the San Francisco Ballet, was suggesting that since it was part of the repertory season that got cut short by the coronavirus. Gary, I know you're Russian, and Russian artists often come together in times of crisis. Do you have any thoughts about how we can use our inner Russianness to get through this?
Oh boy. Well, I'm from Leningrad, and so my ancestors obviously survived the siege of Leningrad. That had to for me to have been born. And one thing I know when I hear stories of that time was that despite the fact that there wasn't enough food, people were eating horses, rats, and whatnot, but culture continued. You know, they were performances of the orchestra, the ballets, the kiras, everything was continuing. People continued to read, people continued to think. And those were far more dire circumstances than anything we're certainly facing today. So for me, that's always been an inspiration, the fact that even a society with as many difficulties as Russian society, the Soviet society, despite all that, you know, my parents are wild consumers of the arts and culture. In fact, I think a certain amount of unhappiness is important for the artistic temperament. Bring it on, as they say.
Well, and we have that was Gary Steingart, author of Superset True Love Story. We have a listener comment. Arthur writes, San Francisco's jazz trombonist, radio host, and unique funny guy Mal Sharp just passed away, so it would be fitting and enjoyable to listen to some of his amazing street comedy that he created with his partner Jim Coyle. His obituary, sadly but informatively, was in today's SF Chronicle. For those who haven't heard of him, I urge you to honor his memory and tickle your funny bone by doing so now. So humor can get us through this time, too, I see. What do you think about that, David Talbot? Are you familiar with Mal Sharp?
Yeah, of course. You know, anyone who's lived in the city as long as I have, you know, was often entertained by Mal. And, you know, I kind of like edgy, mordant humor, so I'm watching a lot of the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, and, you know, it can be pretty cringy at sometimes, but yeah, you know, we live in cringy times too. So, humor is very important. And, speaking of what Gary, though, was saying, I think in some ways the darkness is very actually helpful for the creative process. And I found very hard to actually begin a new book that I'm supposed to be working on. I owe my publisher a history book. I've done all the research for the most part, but I was so distracted by so many things, the election, local politics, my son's film, which came out, and all these different parties. And, you know, after you survive a stroke, you suddenly feel, you know, well enough to go out. I was very kind of distracted and entertained for months and enjoying life again. But, you know, this pandemic has forced me to stay inside and begin writing again. And I don't mind it. I like the discipline again that the pandemic is forcing on me. So, hey, there's some, positive aspects, I think, for at least the creative types about being forced to stay inside.
I think there's going to be a lot of great art that comes out of this time, and I'm looking forward to reading it and seeing it. And I actually need to remind everybody that right now KALW is in the midst of a pledge drive, and people are coming in. Although many people are working from home here at the station, people are coming in to bring radio to you, to bring information, news, updates about what's happening in the coronavirus situation to our listeners, and no one's being able to stay from home to do this radio work. So your support, your generosity are so critical to us. You can call us now at 1-800-525-9917, or reach us at klw.org. You could also text to give KALW to 44321. That's text the number 44321 and write give KALW, and we'll respond with a text that you can give a donation very easily to. Radio is critical for times like this, and we're so grateful for your support. So, and lots of great art, lots of great information come from radio, as you're hearing right now with our panelists who've all taken time out of their busy schedules to join us with their wonderful recommendations of what to read and listen to during these times of sheltering in place. We have Gary Steingart, the author of Super Sad True Love Story, Sky Pillsbury, the editor of Inside Podcasting, Martin West, the principal conductor of the San Francisco Ballet, and San Francisco treasure David Talbot, who is the author of Season of the Witch, founder of Salon.com, and he has a new book called Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke. In the last few minutes that we have with this wonderful panel, I'd love to talk to you about last recommendations, things that we can all meditate on before we part ways tonight to get through these next few weeks. And I'm going to start with you, David.
Well, I'm an old hippie, so I will go back in time again, not to the Beatles this time, but to Donovan. And Donovan, actually more recently, not the old Donovan, but kind of an older and wiser Donovan in many ways, released a song not long ago. It was on an album of sutras, of Eastern prayers that help calm you. And this particular song is appropriately named Deep Peace. So I would recommend playing Deep Peace by Donovan.
Okay, I think we're going to end with that, and we're going to ease out with Deep Peace. But before we do that, Gary, what's your thoughts?
Well, before this virus struck, I traveled all the time, and one of the nicer things was just spending time with my family in this little bunker that we have upstate. And so I've enjoyed just hearing things like Kids Bop, the Sirius channel that my 6-year-old loves. Sounds like Old Town Road, stuff I should know, but, you know, I've never heard. And just hearing this squeaky 6-year-old voice sing all these things brings a kind of calm that I've never really experienced before. So there's something sweet about sheltering in place with a family that you love.
Right. And so just taking things easy and slowing down is actually a good thing. And I guess you're going to be listening to a lot of Kids Bop, Gary. With a 6-year-old at home. Martin, what can we be listening to and thinking about as we get through the next 3 weeks?
Oh, that's a great question. There's so much music out there that soothes the soul. I was just thinking when you asked the question to begin with, there's people like Arvo Pärt who wrote this amazingly meditative music, which still touches the soul greatly. There's so many pieces by him that's so simple yet so telling. There's Cantus in Memoriam, Benjamin Britten, or Spiegel in Spiegel, just simple pieces that transport you to a different world, take your mind off it just for a few seconds. I really recommend checking out his pieces.
And I actually listen to a lot of Arvo Pärt to get to sleep. Could you repeat those titles again, Martin?
Spiegel in Spiegel, it's Mirror in Mirror, is the German translation from German. And the other one I like is another string piece. It's called Cantus in Memoriam, Benjamin Britten. Okay. Piece he wrote after Britten died. Very simple piece, but just very, very, just mesmerizing.
All right, let's
do mind off everything.
I love those two pieces. So let's. Do we have any of those to play? This is Spiegel and Spiegel by Arvo Pärt. Thank you. It's very quiet and very relaxing. Is this something that you listen to a lot, Martin?
I mean, that we do quite a lot. We did it. We performed it earlier this season. It just came to my mind. It's a beautiful ballet as well.
And who is the choreographer for that piece?
Christopher Wilden.
Oh, beautiful. So that was part of the repertory season that got cut short.
It was.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't put in another plug for San Francisco Ballet and all the performing arts organizations whose seasons have been cut short by this, the sheltering in place, which is so good for our health, but a little bit tough for us, all of us who love the performing arts. If you are interested in supporting an organization, San Francisco Ballet, among others out there, you know, now is the time to do that. And for Skye, tell us what you are thinking about for the next 3 weeks besides your neighborhood dance party. How are you, what podcasts, a couple more podcasts that you have that you think people should be listening to?
Well, one podcast I wanted to recommend, just it's not a meditative podcast, although there are a whole lot of those out there. This is more of a podcast for people who might be having trouble sleeping or even just want some companionship. I mean, there's people out there right now who, you know, we're all sheltering in place and you might be feeling a little lonely. And it's a podcast called Sleep With Me. And it's actually started by a local Oakland resident, Drew Ackerman, who's a wonderful human being. And it's called Sleep With Me, as I mentioned. And it's a typically 2 to 3 hour podcast that you can fall asleep to. He sort of speaks, he tells stories, but in kind of this like lulling kind of way, and sort of nonsensical way that sort of seems to work as your brainwaves become more and more relaxed. And I personally have had, Drew Ackerman has lulled me to sleep on a few occasions. But even if you're not planning to go to sleep, it's sort of a hilarious, but warm and fuzzy podcast to listen to as you're even just going about your day. And it reminds us, I think, of what's important, which is like who we can, you know, the time that we spend with our families, the cozy, quiet nighttime times. And I just really adore it. So that's one podcast that I would recommend. There's so much great content out there, you guys. I mean, there's just endless amounts of content. So I hope that people explore it. I think that, you know, I could mention Dolly Parton's America, or which is a very inspiring podcast, or Reply All, which they had just an episode last week called The Case of the Missing Hit, which I felt like was incredibly joyous. But, you know, really anyone can sort of focus on, you know, do a search on the topic that they're interested in and find incredible content to pursue. So I just hope that people find that content and keep themselves company over the next few weeks. We're all in this together.
Skye, with the podcasts you've mentioned, are they free or do I need to pay for them?
No. Everything that I've mentioned is completely free. So it's all easily accessible. Dolly Parton's America was actually a podcast that was created by the founder of Radiolab that some of your listeners might be familiar with. So Jad Abumrad, who created that genre-defining podcast, worked with his producer, Shima, to make Dolly Parton's America. And it's an incredible podcast. I actually interviewed Shima on the next season of my show, Inside Podcasting, and the work that they did there was incredible. But it's a show about unity, and it's a show about how Dolly Parton is magically able to, like, sort of be something that everyone can agree on. And that's a wonderful thing, and I think in a dark time, is to think about why that's possible and how all of us can maybe see her as a role model in some ways. I'm sure we're going to agree on a whole lot more after this virus passes.
Right.
And we've had this experience together, but it's a great show to dig into. It's a 11 or 12 part series.
And for our listeners, these are podcasts that you can listen to on your computer or on your mobile device. You can stream them. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So any podcast player that you listen to already, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Overcast or anything like else like that, Spotify, iHeart Radio, you could stream it, download it. You can listen to it any way you want. You do not have to pay any kind of money. It's all free content for you.
Wonderful. So we've got some podcasts to keep you company while you take your walk. We have some music to listen to. Hopefully Martin West will be conducting from his balcony next. Do you think that will happen, Martin? I'm going to put another plug in for that.
I'll do it now, see what happens. After
You heard it here first. Martin West is the principal conductor for the ballet, maybe conducting from his balcony soon. David Latuloup's our engineer, and I think he's excited about that. We have Gary Steingart in New York. Last words, Gary?
Stay safe, everyone. Can't wait to go out to San Francisco as soon as I can and see everyone there.
Well, and Gary Steingart's recommendation is to conference call and cocktails at the same time. That's where you can Skype with your friends and drink at the same time, which feels appropriate and possibly a little Russian. And finally, David Talbot, who is, as we know, founder of Salon.com and local author. Any last words from you, David?
Yes, let's channel the Brits during the Blitzkrieg in World War II. Remain calm and carry on.
I love that. So we're going to go out on a song from Donovan that David had suggested. And I want to remind you again that this is a pledge break for KALW. The number to donate to is 1-800-525-9917. KALW.org is the place you can go to donate online. You can text 44321 to give KALW, and that way we can get your donation via text. It's an incredibly difficult time for everyone, but especially it's a good time to support your public radio. We would love your donations so that we can continue to give you this live radio. And we are not decreasing any of our time to do pledge breaks. We are actually increasing our time so that we can bring you all the news that you need during these very, very troubling times. And with that, that is our show tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Skye Pillsbury, editor of Inside Podcasting, David Talbot, the author of Between Heaven and Hell, The Story of My Stroke, Gary Steingart, the author of the best-selling books Lake Success, Super Sad True Love Story, and Little Failure, and finally Martin West, the music director and principal conductor of the San Francisco Ballet. Tonight's show was engineered by David LaTulipe. Next week we'll be back here on Mondays at 7 o'clock with City Visions. Thank you so much. Be safe, be healthy, and have a wonderful week.
Deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth.